All right, welcome to Fundamental Bible Baptist Institute. This is Bible Doctrines 1, and we are in Class 9. For those online students that are trying to figure out, why are we in Class 9 on Week 8? It's because our beloved Pastor Dari has been sick, and so he was supposed to teach two classes because he could not teach last week. But he still cannot teach this week, so thank the Lord for Pastor Augustine filling in for one of the classes. And so I am going to teach Class 9 now, and then next week, Pastor Augustine will fill in, or Pastor Frederick will fill in Class 8, and Pastor Dari will then do Class 9. So I will have no, Lord willing, if Pastor Dari is better, I will have no additional classes next week myself. So we are a week early with Class 9, again, just to explain for our online students, all right? So we are in Class 9, and now we are fully into the doctrine of God. So the first 7 to 8 classes, we were dealing with bibliology, which is the doctrine of what?
The Bible.
The Bible. Amen. All right. So bibliology. Ology is the study of Bible. So now we are dealing with theology, which is, again, theo, God. And ology, the study of. Now, in a broad sense, we could say that theology deals with our entire understanding of the Scriptures, okay? You know, a person could major in theology and they're getting a full Bible education. But when we get specific, theology really speaks of the doctrine of God. So last week, we introduced this lesson and we dealt with the existence of God. And I want to review last week. Before we start into this week's lesson, I want to take time to review last week's lesson a little bit. So last week we started by saying that Scripture assumes the existence of God. God does not argue for His existence. Why would He? Who does He have to prove Himself to? We're His creation. You can look in the sky and see there is a God. You can think at night on your bed and know there is a God. Amen. The creation calls for a creator. Why would God argue for Himself to His creation? If you had the ability and the power to create something, would you feel the need to prove to what you created with your own hands that you existed? That would be ridiculous. And so God does not argue for His existence. Scripture just assumes His existence when the Bible said, in the beginning, God. And I can assure you that if a person can believe the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning God, he will have no problem believing the rest of the Bible, okay? And then we talked about how that creation declares the existence of God. Again, last week our lesson focused on the fact that God exists. And so creation declares it. And we'll focus more on that today a little bit with the subject matter. But I think of Psalm 19 where the Bible said, verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Then we dealt last week, and I want to read this one section that I read last week because I really enjoyed that. And by the way, anything that you see in my notes is probably not original. I probably got it from somebody, amen. And so I just don't always remember who I got it from or where I got it from. But when I do, I try to write it into the notes, okay? But creation's disbelief of God would leave creation without a creator. And that's impossible. Design without a designer, the universe without a controller, human history without a ruler, morality without any basis of authority, iniquity without any moral restraint, and death without any hope. And I'm glad we're not hopeless as the fool, because remember last week we said there's no such thing as an atheist. God doesn't know an atheist. God says in Psalm 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So what men call themselves, and I'm an atheist, they're advertising, I am a fool. Because God said they are a fool. Twice, God says it in Psalm 14:1, and again, and I believe it's Psalm 53:1, or 52:1, God says the same exact thing. You can check and see if it's 52 or 53. I get it mixed up, all right? And so then number 3, we dealt with the fact that human conscience demands the existence of God. And we learned that there's an innate consciousness of God created within us. Amen. And we looked at Romans 2, 14 and 15, Romans 1, 18 and 19, John 1, 9. The whole idea of having guilt over sin, that comes from God. because there's a conscience. So our conscience demands the existence of God. And then we closed last week with the idea, or the thought, I should say, that Jesus Christ manifested the existence of God. And I want to start with that this week because really, the Bible is a progressive revelation of Jesus Christ. What we mean by that is the Bible progressively, over time, reveals who God is. So in the Old Testament, it wasn't until Abraham that God actually really gives a specific name for a people group to know him by. And then Moses tells Pharaoh, I am that I am. And we start seeing different names of God in the Old Testament. Each one of those names introduces us to an attribute of or characteristic of God. So as we come to the Old Testament, we begin learning about God. In Genesis chapter number 3 and chapter 4, we learn that God has to deal with sin. God cannot let sin be undealt with. Sin has to be judged. In Genesis 4, we learn that God is not the kind of a being who accepts any sacrifice. The sacrifice has to be the sacrifice that he demands, that he requires. And if you don't bring the sacrifice he requires, he will not accept that sacrifice. You come all the way through the Old Testament, we learn one characteristic after another about God. But in the New Testament, in the Gospels, God became a man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And we see in the life of Jesus Christ from four different viewpoints. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see Christ from four different angles. Four different men who come from four different places with four different backgrounds. And I mean, Luke is a man, you know, one's a tax collector and Luke's a doctor and John's the closest friend that the Lord Jesus Christ had on the planet. And they all give under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God works through their personality where they can retell the story of Jesus Christ. And we learn that God is a God of justice. Yes. I mean, we see that he's a God of anger. We see that when he overturned the money tables. Amen. There in the temple. But we also see that he's a God of love. Amen. We see that he's a God of compassion when he looks at that woman that's taken in adultery and says, he that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And then he said, a woman hath no man condemned thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. Oh, man, we see the love of Jesus Christ when Peter, trying to defend him, cuts Malchus's ear off. And Jesus, while he's being arrested and taken to be unjustly tried and crucified on Calvary, he picks up Malchus's ear and puts it back on. Amen. Man, what love, what mercy. Judas Iscariot betrays him with a kiss. And he says, friend, wherefore art thou come? Wow. What a God that we serve. Amen. And so Jesus Christ, if somebody wanted to see God, look no further than Jesus Christ. Amen. Because everything you see in Jesus Christ, you're seeing God in the flesh. Amen. So as we come then to today's lesson, it's part two of the doctrine of God. And where before we dealt with the existence of God, today we're going to deal with the revelation of God. And a lot of the material that I've used for this entire course, Bible Doctrines 1, comes out of Bible Doctrines for Today, Book 1, that's put out by Becca Book Publishers, which is used for Christian school curriculum. But they have so much good information, I thought I'd bring it into this particular study. All right, so somebody said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if you come across a curriculum that's really good, you don't have to improve upon it. Amen. There's no use reinventing the wheel. Amen. When someone's already got it written down nice for you. Amen. And so that's what we're doing here. All right. So we know that the entire scriptures are a progressive revelation of God to man. We learn from God's word that number one, there is a God. Amen. And then we learn from God's word who that God is. Not just about God, but who he is. Can I tell you again? I want to make it clear. Jesus is the God that all scripture points to. Amen. Jesus said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Hebrews, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Even after his resurrection, when the disciples are still mourning and they're depressed because their Savior has died, their Messiah has died, he comes in a different form on the Emmaus Road, and he meets up with two disciples. And he's a different, they don't recognize him. And Jesus Christ pretty much says, why are you guys so depressed? They said, are you a newcomer? Haven't you heard what's been going on these last several days? He said, tell me about it. And they told him about how their Messiah, their Jesus, had died. And the Bible said, then opened he the scriptures. He went back to the law and the prophets. And he began to show them all those things which the Old Testament prophesied should come to pass concerning him. And then when he goes in to eat bread with them, their eyes are open and they realized they're with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Amen. The point is, he used all those Old Testament scriptures to preach to them about who he was. Amen. Amen. Everything in the Old Testament pointed towards Jesus Christ. Amen. So, but what I want to talk about today is the revelation, how God reveals himself to mankind. So we're going to talk about two specific kinds of revelation that will be on your final exam. Remember, if you're a new student, everything that's bold print and underlined in my class notes are on your final exam. If you're Pastor Dari's class, he says TN. I don't say TN. I just put it in bold print, underline it. Amen. And it will be on your final exam. Now, this is one of those classes where I will also, in class 12, give you a study sheet so that you can be more prepared for the final exam than maybe in some of my other classes where I don't provide a study sheet, okay? But this one, there's a study sheet. So we're going to talk about two types of revelation today, general revelation and special revelation, okay? And there is a difference between general revelation and special revelation, all right? I'm talking about how God reveals himself to mankind in general and specifically, all right? So revelation is God's disclosing to man things about himself that man could not know otherwise. The revelation of God to mankind is divided into two sections, general revelation and special revelation. General revelation is God's revelation of himself in creation, through history, and then man's conscience. Remember that. I don't have that on your exam, but remember that. General revelation is God revealing himself through creation, through history, and through a man's conscience. Special revelation is God's revelation in his word through his son, Jesus Christ, and through the transformed lives of Christians, all right? There's so much I want to say, and I'll just start saying it again. Amen, all right? But without revelation, without any revelation, we would know nothing about God. Somebody said general revelation is God's outside book that reveals himself to the world. Special revelation is God's inside book that reveals himself to the world. So let's talk first about general revelation. Let's get a definition from the scriptures of general revelation. We're going to turn, if you have your class notes, you can see it there. Acts 14, verses 14 through 17. I'm after one phrase, but I'm going to read the story here to get to the phrase so that we can stay in the context, all right? So the Bible said, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? They had preached in Acts 14, and the people that they had preached to said, the gods are come to us. And they were worshiping Paul and Barnabas as if they were gods. And so Paul and Barnabas, they realized, they couldn't accept that kind of worship. And so Paul and Barnabas ran and said, we also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, which in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own way. Watch the next phrase. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. God has never left himself without a witness to his existence. He has never left himself without a revelation of who he is to the world. The Bible said, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Amen. He said, God, hey, when you see it rain, you know there's a God in heaven. He didn't leave himself without witness. When we bring in a harvest of food, amen, and fill our bellies, you know there's a God in heaven that allowed that to take place. Amen. That's general revelation. He did not leave himself without a witness. The pagan man in the darkened village where they've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they've never even heard if there is a Jesus Christ, knows there is a God just from looking at the sky, at the sun, the moon, the stars, the rain, the seasons, because God has not left himself without witness. And if you disagree with that statement, then if they don't know there's a God, then why does every pagan village in every closed country around the world where anybody's ever went in, why have they already had a worship system? Why have they already had a false God they're worshiping? They don't know who the right God is, but they know there's a God, and so they worship the God that they think exists because they're afraid they're going to make him mad if they don't worship him. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 19 and 20. Again, I'm talking about the definition of general revelation defined from the scripture. So general revelation is God not leaving himself without a witness. Amen. God has a witness of himself in creation. Romans 1, 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Watch the next phrase. For the invisible things of him. Stop. Can we see invisible things? Dobby. No. Are clearly seen. Is that a contradiction? The invisible things of God are clearly seen. Well, how do we see invisible things? From the creation of the world. Amen. Amen. Creation declares there is a creator. Amen. The clock declares there's a clockmaker. The picture of the world over there on the wall declares somebody made that picture of the world. And you better believe if that picture says somebody had to make me, then the world itself, this globe that we're on, this planet that is spinning through space, you better know somebody had to make us. Amen. That's God. That's general revelation. Again, Psalm 19, 1 through 3. I won't read the whole passage, just the first phrase. The heavens declare. Amen. The heavens declare. Amen. The glory of God. Have you watched the sun rising in all its beauty? Amen. Did you see the rainbow yesterday? Amen. Have you seen the sun setting over the ocean? The heavens declare the glory of God. Have you stood out in the nighttime when the lights are off and looked up and seen all the stars? And it looks like it looks like clouds of stars. And all those stars are literally hundreds of thousands of miles from each other. But from our point of view, they look so close and they're so mixed up. They look like clouds of the Milky Way galaxy. It looks like a big cloud up there. The heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. The firmament show of his handiwork. Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4. I like this one. David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. Wow. The sun, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. Think about that. The sun and the moon. You look at that and say, man, that sun is amazing. God said, that's just the work of my fingers. Man, I can't even touch a pot in there when she has it on top of the fire. Amen. After about 2 minutes because it's too hot for my fingers. Amen. The sun's the work of God's fingers. He just went, put it out there. Amen. What about that? I'm talking about God. Amen. He said, when I consider that, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest? But I just want to say by word of testimony, I'm glad that he's mindful of us, and I'm sure glad that he visits us. Amen. All right, so the definition of general revelation there is he left not himself without witness. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. And the heavens are the work of God's fingers. Amen. That's general revelation. Any unsaved man from any vantage point on this globe can look into the heavens and say, there is a God. There is a God. There is a God. It is a universal language. Remember back here in Psalm 19, I didn't read it, but he said, day and the day uttereth speech. Doesn't matter to me if you're a Fonny speaker, tree speaker, God speaker, English speaker, French speaker, German speaker, whatever speaker you are. Can I tell you? Don't matter what language. It don't matter if you can't even hear and can't even speak. If you're deaf, dumb, and mute, amen. Can I tell you? When you look up, there's a universal language that you understand. There's a God. Everybody from every race, from every ethnic background, amen, from every part of this planet can look up in the sky and see the same sun and the same moon and the same stars. And no matter what his language is, no matter how intellectual he is or how illiterate he is, there's no language that doesn't understand that. He says right there, day and the day utter speech, night and night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Every speech and every language hears, there's a God. The sun rises, there's a God. The rainbow comes out like it did yesterday, there is a God. The sun sets, there is a God. The moon comes up, there is a God. The tide rolls in, there is a God. Amen. There is a God. There is a God. That's general revelation. Now, let me give you the teachings of general revelation. General revelation teaches all men everywhere that there is a creator God. And again, Romans 1:19 is the verse for that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God hath showed the world that there is a God. Okay? Now, general revelation teaches all men everywhere that they are condemned by their creator God. It teaches that we're condemned. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed, there's that word revelation, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. And he's not just talking about there in Romans chapter number 1, those that hold the truth of God's word. He's talking about those that hold the truth of general revelation that there is a God. God's wrath is to be revealed from heaven against them, all right? So general revelation leaves all men everywhere with no excuse for why they did not search diligently to find out who their creator God was. Romans 1 verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. I don't care how illiterate a man is supposed to be by some intellectual giant in another part of the world, God said every man has this witness. I've showed it to every man, and every man will stand guilty before me because that which may be made known of me is manifest in them. God said, I'm there. I've revealed myself to them. So in verse number 20 of Romans 1, he concludes it. He says, so that they are without excuse. The person in the deepest, darkest, closed, unreached area of the world is without excuse. When he dies and goes to hell to pay for his own sin for all eternity, he'll not point the finger at God and say, I didn't know there was a God. God said, no, you can look into the heavens and see there's a God. Now, general revelation can't save a man from sin. But general revelation reveals to a man that there is a God. And if a man has enough sense to know there is a God, then he should be praying to that God saying, Lord, I don't know who you are, but God, send somebody to tell me who you are. God, I want to know who you are. God, I desire to know who you are. That's why God says they're without excuse. Because men know there is a God, they know they're under condemnation, and they just keep living in their sin, and they keep living in their wickedness, and they don't search out for God. No man really seeks for God, according to the Word of God. Amen. So the conclusion of general revelation is this. While God uses nature's revelation of Himself to declare that there is a God before whom creation will stand one day and be condemned as guilty sinners with no excuse, general revelation cannot save a man from sin. Knowing there is a God is not the gospel. So when somebody says, well, and you're out soul winning, oh, Brother Philip, I believe in God. So? The devil believes in God and trembles. He's a step ahead of the average human. He trembles. He's got an emotional reaction. There is a God. His intellect is involved. His emotion is involved. He knows there's a God and he trembles. So when someone says, I believe in God, so what? Everybody believes there's a God unless he's a fool. According to the Bible, yes. Amen. Yes, even the devils believe in God. So general revelation cannot save. General revelation can point men in the direction of salvation, but it cannot show men the way of salvation. It cannot. Because the sun and the moon and the stars, I don't care how much you study them tonight, if no one comes with a Bible to tell you about Jesus Christ, the sun will never say, Jesus Christ lived for you, died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Let me tell you about him. The moon will never say, hey, listen to me down there on earth. There's a God. His name is Jesus, and he died for your sins according to the script. No. You'll never hear that from the moon, the sun, they say there's a God. The tide rolling in, the seasons come, there's a God. But they don't tell us who that God is. They don't tell us that he has provided his son as a savior. That comes through special revelation, specific revelation, all right? And so it teaches man to seek after God. General revelation says there's a God. You need to seek after him. But then general revelation, that's God's outside book. It does not show a man who God is. And so that's why the world has literally hundreds of thousands of deities that they worship. The country of India, I mentioned it earlier today, the country of India has literally hundreds of thousands of gods, little g gods, that they worship in the hopes that they'll appease the right God, that somehow they'll get reincarnated and into something good, not something bad. Boy, I'm so glad I don't believe in reincarnation. Amen. I'd hate to come back as a mosquito. Amen. Or an animal, a rat, a frog, a snail. I'm glad I don't believe in that. Amen. The Bible doesn't teach that, right? The glories of God's creation are constant reminders of a supreme being. The design of this universe demands that reasoning man recognizes a designer. The wonders of the human body cannot be explained apart from God. We would expect that a God that is powerful and wonderful enough to create all things would communicate with his creation. Therefore, general revelation encourages men to seek special revelation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There are too many stories from too many missionaries in too many countries where someone came looking for the missionary because his village wanted to know who God was. Amen. Too many stories out there where people have been praying, trying to find out who God is. Let me give you a New Testament example. Cornelius. New Testament example. A man who's trying to worship God and pray to God. He's seeking special revelation. And God saw him and God said, Peter, you're going to a Gentile. And Peter's like, not me, Lord. Not so, Lord. That's never a good thing to say to the Lord. Not so, Lord. That's kind of a contradiction of terms right there. Not so. No, Lord. You're my Lord. You're the one that tells me what to do. No, I'm not going to do it. Not so, Lord. And the Lord said, oh, yes, 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 you're going, Peter. You're going. Amen. Let's talk about special revelation. All right. My time is getting by quickly. I've got about less than 20 minutes. All right. Special revelation. And I'm actually going to try to get it done before that. The definition of special revelation from Scripture. So let's talk about special. So again, general revelation is God's outside book, declaring there is a God. But special revelation is God's inside book, telling us who God is. Amen. So let's look in Romans chapter number 10, verse 8. And we're going to read all through verse 17 because we're after certain verses. But let's read all of this, all right? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. We could say God's inner book. We could say God's special revelation, God's word. Because God's word is God's revelation of himself. God has spoken it. It's not just that the Son is saying there is a God. His creation is declaring there's a God. God is saying, listen, I've given you my word. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. What word is that? The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. We're kind of in that stuff Brother Whitman's been talking about. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now watch the next. I've got it in bold print. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Well, how can you call on someone to save you if you don't believe he's God? How can you believe he's God if you've never heard that he exists? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. So special revelation is going to involve a word, the word, and it's going to involve somebody taking the word to the sinner. Amen. Amen. Somebody's got to do it, all right? So then we come down, and he says the very last part, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But again, and I like the way he said it, he didn't say faith cometh by reading, and reading by the word of God, and we can all read the word of God, but we need the Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading the word of God, he's reading Isaiah, and Philip as the human instrument that God is going to use to win the Ethiopian eunuch to himself. Philip says, understandest what thou readest. And he says, how can I except some man guide me? Special revelation involves God's word and then involves a preacher of the gospel, a soul winner. Somebody telling the sinner who that God is, what that God did for them, how that he became a savior, how that he suffered for their sins, and he wants to give them salvation. And if they don't hear, it's on us. That's why I said when I was praying earlier, the missions is not a purpose of the church. It is not a mission. Well, one of the purposes of the church, we're going to have a ladies' meeting here. We're going to have a board of deacons over here so they can make big things. We'll have a building committee over here. We're going to have a youth pastor here. We're going to do all these things that focus on just making us a bigger and a better and the strongest church in the area. Missions is the purpose of the church. So I'm not saying these other things are wrong if everything is striving toward the same goal of sending out missionaries, giving that others may go, going locally and going as God leads you. Amen. Missions is not a purpose. It is the purpose. It's got to be. Guys, that's why the church exists. If God wanted to take you to heaven when he saved you, he could have raptured you out the moment you got saved. He could have said, Augustine, I've saved you. Boom, you're in heaven. I mean, the moment Philip, you said, oh God, I'm a sinner, save me. Boom, he's gone. He's in heaven. But he didn't. He left you here. Why? So that he just doesn't have the sun, the moon, and stars as a general witness to who he is, but so that he has you as a special witness to who he is. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And that word both, that literally, that word both, if you've ever done a word study, it means at the same time. While we're witnesses in Tankofu, we are supposed to also be witnesses in Burkina Faso, and we're supposed to be witnesses in India, and we're supposed to be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. That if every church understood that, a church plant is not the end game. Starting a church in Ogoni and Kwanta is not the end game. It is just another part of the onward advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we take it to the next village and to the next village and to the next village, giving those people special revelation, specific revelation. Let me tell you who God is. And in the process, we have to tell them who he isn't. The one you're worshiping is not God. Your dunghill deity is not God. Your snail that you're serving is not God. That tree that you worship is not God. That little rock or wood that you carved into an idol, that's not God. That little Mary holding a baby, that's not God. That's heresy. That's blasphemy. That's not God. Makes us feel good at Christmas. We go around and we see all the little Marys holding the little babies. That's Roman Catholic. That's Madonna holding her little baby. That's Nimrod. That's Samaria. That's paganism. We don't worship a mother-son God. We worship the Son of God. Amen. I'm saying that's our job. Our job is to go in and preach the gospel to village after village after village, country after country after country, continent after continent, where our job's not done till every creature has a preacher. Amen. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. Man, I'm telling you guys, I'm not making myself an example. Paul would say I'm become a fool in glory, but I sure didn't move over here after my kids started getting married, and now they're having grandkids, amen, so that I could just say I'm going to build a church somewhere, amen. If I'd have wanted to, if it had been up to the human side, man, I'd have stayed where my grandkids are. Amen. But I'm here as a man on a mission, with a mission. Amen. I'm here as a man with a purpose. And I want every one of you to get that same purpose and that same mission. Amen. That mission is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. 1 Corinthians 2, I'm talking about special revelation, verse 13 and 14. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Do you understand? A natural man, even reading the Bible on his own. I used an illustration at Mount Calvary on Wednesday evening. I took my Bible and I sat it over on the communion table and I sat right in the front row with one of the men from the church. I said, that Bible sitting there, can it help me? Is it of any value? It's inspired. It's preserved. Canonized, translated. Can it help me? They said, no. I opened the Word of God up and I said, let me ask you a question. It's open on the communion table. It's open. It's not closed. God wrote it. He preserved it. I mean, that's the powerful Word of God. Can that Bible help me? The answer is no. I went and sat down in a chair, put the Bible in my hand, opened up and started looking at it. And I said, now I'm reading it. Can it help me? And everybody's looking like, this is a trick question now. This is a trick question. This, because he's reading the Word of God, and the Word of God is power. So I said, Richmond, go turn off the lights. So he turned off the lights, and it's dark on a Wednesday night at Mount Calvary. Amen. It's dark up there. The lights are off. And I'm holding the Bible in my hand, reading it, but can I read a Bible when it's dark? Can reading the Bible help me when it's dark? It cannot. And the man who is blinded by the sin of this world and whom the God of this world hath blinded his mind, he cannot understand anything just reading the Bible by himself. The Spirit of God has to illuminate. God has to shine light out of darkness, and I'll tell you how God does it. How shall they hear without a preacher? God does it through a witness to himself, through a human being, through a human instrument, saying, let me share with you the gospel. I'm not saying that passing out gospel tracts don't work because you have someone explaining the gospel in the gospel tract. Amen. But there's not, and I want to pass out, we've got 5 million or however many it was that came on this last shipment. I want to send as many as we can out, 2 million. I want to get as many of those gospel tracts out as we can by the grace of God. Amen. But can I tell you, you'll never, ever, 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 ever be able to do better than you witnessing to somebody else. You can't replace the missionary. You can't replace the soul winner. You can't replace the witness himself. Thank God for tracts and Bibles that we can send around the world. But what's the value of sending 1,000 Bibles to 1,000 villages if there's nobody there to show them the God of the Bible in the Bible? Amen. We've got to preach it to them. Amen. We've got to give it to them. You say, well, God could do it by himself. He could, but he doesn't. God has limited himself to work through his church, to work through his people. And that's why he gave us the Great Commission. God could bring salvation to the whole world without any of us. Amen. But God chooses to work through us. The Spirit does not, listen, the Spirit does not work independently of God's church. Spiritual or physical, the Spirit does not work independent of us. You say, where do you see that in the Bible? The Bible said the Spirit and the bride say, come. So the Spirit of God works with the Word of God that somebody has planted in the heart of a sinner, that somebody else has watered in the heart of the sinner, and the Spirit of God will bring that increase. Amen. But somebody had to plant it. Somebody had to water it. Amen. Talking about special revelation now. Again, Acts 8:30 and 31, we already read those, so I won't reread that. Now let's talk real quickly about the teachings of special revelation. So special revelation, God reveals who he is to sinners through his word. Special revelation is the act of God whereby he reveals himself and his truth to specific people at specific times and places. I agree with that. Amen. That's 100% biblical. Special revelation teaches that a man cannot learn who God is without his word. I believe that. I accept that. Amen. Special revelation has to be understood and accepted by faith. But that's what faith comes by, hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Somebody spoke it to you. Somebody gave it to you. Amen. While general revelation reveals God as the Creator, special revelation reveals God as Jesus Christ, the Savior. If all you know of is God as a Creator, you'll go to hell one day. You've got to know Christ as a Savior, as the Savior. Amen. You have to. Special revelation involves a man taking these Scriptures and preaching the gospel to the world, because the world cannot accept the Savior of whom they've never heard. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a quick illustration. Burkina Faso is the country to the north of us. I was in Burkina Faso, I think in 2017, and I saw a country that was at that time very open to the gospel. A country that was predominantly Muslim, but a president, at the time I believe he was a Muslim president, encouraging Christian missionaries to come to Burkina Faso. And I found that at that time there were I think a grand total in the whole country, I think there were something like 7 independent fundamental Baptist missionaries in the entire country. Most of those, 5 of those were in one city. And so that I struggled with that, Brother Arhan, in my mind. I thought, man, look at all the people in Burkina Faso. There's a lot of people here. This is a Muslim country that wants Christian missionaries to come. I'm like, man, why aren't missionaries? Why isn't God sending people? Why isn't God sending? And that started bothering me. I'm going to be honest with you. I went back to the U.S., I'm praying, I said, God, please send folks to Burkina Faso. Oh, God, please, I begged God. I mean, I fasted and prayed over this, man. God, send missionaries. They're open to missionaries. Why are missionaries going? And so I was in a church preaching, And I made a comment about how I'm praying about Burkina Faso, and someone came to me after the church service and said, "What's Burkina Faso?" I said, "Burkina Faso is not a what, it is a place, it is a where." And they said, "Where's Burkina?" I never heard of it. So I thought, wait a minute. So every church I went to after that, and I preached in maybe 185 churches that year. And every church I preached in, I said, "I want a quick question before I start. How many of you have heard of Burkina Faso?" One man in one church raised his hand in all the churches I was in. And a very simple truth dawned on me. God cannot send people to a place. He can't call people to be a missionary to a place that they don't know exist. I mean, if I said, "Hey, God's calling you to Kalalawakala." So I've never even heard of Kalalawakala. There is no such place, I don't think. Amen. All right. Yeah, if you don't know a place exists, how can God burden you about that place? So somebody had to start telling those churches, "Hey, there's a place called Burkina Faso." That God's looking for missionaries. They're looking for missionaries to come. They had to have a man to enlighten them, to tell them there's a place called Burkina, so that the Spirit of God could say, "Hey, I want to call you to be a missionary to Burkina." In the same way, there has to be a man. People are not going to call on a Jesus that they do not know. They're not going to call for salvation in the death, bloody death, burial, and resurrection of Christ when they don't even know about the bloody death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's where our job comes in, all right? So, special revelation, and I'm going to finish up. I'm 1 minute over, but I'm just about done. Special revelation places the burden of responsibility of reaching the world with the gospel on the shoulders of Christians and churches. It's our responsibility. Can I tell you, it's the greatest privilege in the world. I don't want anybody to walk out of this class because of the illustration I gave earlier. So I feel sorry for Pastor Upman. He's separated from his grandkids. And this, don't feel sorry for me. It's the greatest privilege in the world to be able to be here and to be able to serve God and to be able to see people saved and churches started. Amen. That's the greatest privilege in the world. Amen. But while I say it's a privilege, I'm telling you, it's a responsibility as well. Amen. And brother Augustine talked about we want the blessings without the responsibilities. Amen. Amen. And you can't have the blessings of seeing a church built. You can't have the blessings of seeing sinners saved if you're not out witnessing, if you're not faithful having church services. Can I tell our pastors here, amen, don't ever cut your services. Amen. Don't start saying, you know, like churches in the U.S. are doing, amen, "Well, we're not going to have Wednesday night service anymore because our attendance is low." Man, that's when you dig in, amen, and say, "By God's grace, we're going to start having special visitation to invite people on Wednesday night." Amen. They asked about our Sunday time. Let me tell you about my Wednesday time. Amen. All right. I mean, listen, we're not cutting things back because people aren't interested. We need to be doing so much the more. I don't have many coming on Wednesday night. I think I'll start a Friday night youth meeting. Amen. We're going to do more, not less. Amen. So I'm simply saying we have a responsibility of reaching the world with the gospel. And so special revelation mandates or commands or obligates the missions program of the church. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." So don't sit here and say, "Well, you know, I was born in a poor village and I can't go ye therefore." Wait a minute, are you saved? Did God say all power is given unto me? If God has all the power, that means He'll get you where you need to go, when you need to be there, to the who at the right time. Amen. Because He can. All power is given to me. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He doesn't leave that to the Spirit doesn't go out saying, "I'm going to show up in the village of Ntakofu tonight, and I'm going to preach from the heaven to the village, and I'm going to baptize it." No. We do that. We have to be the ones preaching the gospel, all right? And then He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. As long as He's with me, I can go anywhere. Amen. I can go anywhere with Him with me. I can go to Tomale, brother, if Christ is with me. I can go to Kodachrome if Christ is with me. Amen. Amen. I can go to India if Christ is with me. I can go to Africa as an American if Christ is with me. So I told the Lord, Moses, before he took the children of Israel over to the Promised Land, the Lord told him to take them there. And basically his answer was, "Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not taking this crowd." Amen. But if I know He'll go with me, I'll go anywhere, at any time, to any people with His gospel. Amen. Mark 16, 15, Luke 24, 46 through 48, Acts 1, 8. These are all verses that mandate missions. So special revelation is God's inside book, revealing to the world who God is, Jesus Christ, and that he loved the world so much that he bled and he suffered and he died and was buried and he rose again. And then it's the preacher taking that message, the soul winner taking that message, the Christian taking that message and being a witness to my neighbor, to my family member, to my friend, to the next village, to the next region, to the next country, to the next continent, to the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. That's our responsibility. If sinners die and go to hell because they heard and rejected special revelation, their blood's on their hand. If our neighbors and our friends and our family and our village dies and goes to hell because we never told them that there is a Savior who lived, loved, and died on the cross for them and shed his blood and was buried and rose again, their blood is on our hands. They still go to hell, but the judgment seat of Christ, their blood's going to be on our hands. And we can't have that. That how in the world could we hold our head up before the God who came to this earth and died so that the world could be saved and then tell him, you saved me. And I know that you gave your son to come to the earth and to die on the cross for our sins, but I couldn't even go to visitation at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning at my church because I had too much going on. I'd hang my head in embarrassment and shame at the judgment seat of Christ. We can't do it. We can't do it. We can't. We've got to be involved. Amen. We've got to be involved. All right. So in conclusion, let me illustrate general special revelation with the following quotation taken from the book Bible Doctrines for Today, Book 1. General revelation and special revelation are like God's two books, his outdoor book, creation, and his indoor book, the Bible. His outdoor book can be read by all. If it does not lead people to him, they are without excuse, according to Romans 1:20. But sometimes God's outdoor book leads men to seek after God, and God promises to reward the one who diligently seeks him, Hebrews 11, verse 6. He will see to it that true seekers are given the truth revealed in his indoor book, the Bible. If a man is willing to accept the truth of God's outdoor book, God will see to it that he finds the truth of God's indoor book, the Bible. He'll make sure that somebody gets there. Can I tell you, if God's calling you to be the one to go there, don't let that people that people group down. Don't let that village down. Don't let that person down. Amen. If God's calling you, answer the call of God. If there's a village, if there's a country, if there's a continent, if there's a place you're burdened about, start praying and saying, Lord, here am I. If you call me, I'll go. I'll trust you. I was so excited. I was over in the central region at a meeting over there. And I sat next to a pastor who told me how that for, I think, close to 20 years now, I think it was 18 years exactly, 18 or 19 years, that he had been pastoring over there. They have a little Bible institute, started four churches out of the church, and that was exciting for me to hear, amen. But then when he told me that he was going to be resigning very soon the churches because God's calling him to go to Equatorial Guinea, man, that fired me up. I said, glory to God, amen. Amen. I said, are you kidding me? Are you serious? He said, I have a burden, man. God's calling me. Man, God sends a man like David Overs to Cashew. Amen. Allows him to church plant there, start four churches. But he's been faithful there. Now God's calling him back to Nigeria. Amen. I said, glory to God. Don't tell God what he can't do with your life. Amen. You follow him. You follow his leadership. You follow these commands. You be the instrument of special revelation, starting with your neighbor, starting in your village. One day, God may let you to be the instrument of special revelation on another continent. Amen. Just stay faithful to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless now, Lord, this lesson. Bless these lessons today. Lord, Brother Augustine, hit the nail on the head talking about being a good servant and a good student and a good soldier, Lord. And I pray you'd help us to be all of those things as we prepare ourselves to go reach our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now bless these men and these ladies as they go their separate ways. Bless in all of our church services tomorrow. And Lord, special prayer again for Brother Frederick's wife and for his little baby. God, watch over them, protect them. Lord, bring healing to both of them, I pray, and soon. And Lord, continue to heal Pastor Dari, I pray. Be with Brother Dominic, Lord God, and heal him as well, Lord, that he could be back in class with us next Saturday. For what you do and how you bless, we're going to say to God be the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.